sunshine go away today. I don't feel much like dancing. Some man's gone, he's tried to run my life. We don't know what he's asking. When he tells me I better get in line, I can't hear what he's saying. When I grow up, I'm gonna make it mine. These ain't dues I've been paying. Well, how much does it cost? I'll buy it. The time is all we've lost. I'll try it. He can't even run his own life. I'll be damned if you run mine.
All right, let's look forward to seeing old doctors, shall we?
Indeed.
All right, here we go.
That's good doctors.
It's me.
God. Oh, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Hey Kids Comics. Issue 184, I believe. 184 coming
up. The
doctor
said you've got Zachary.
Paging Dr. Rosenpenis. I'm going to say Rosenpenis probably another 35 times tonight.
Rosenpenis.
I am Andrew Farmer, otherwise known as Dr. Rosenpenis tonight. Your host with me, as always, co-host and producer of Hey Kids Comics, the Jedi Cole Houston. Also, the progenitor of this particular episode of Hey Kids Comics. So I'm going to throw it over to him and let him explain what we're talking about tonight.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, one of the things that I find is very therapeutic, rather than just like going to an actual doctor, is to simply, you know, go read about doctors in comic books. It's cheaper, and it's covered by Obamacare.
And less...
Which ironically was not a stab at Obamacare, just a mention.
Less threatening than WebMD. Like, you don't... Less misdiagnoses than if you were to go on WebMD and just type in your symptoms. If you pick up an issue of... you name it. Avengers, if you were to pick up an issue of Avengers, circa 1989, crack that open, ask it your questions directly, be very clear, like as if you were talking to Siri, you will get
your answer. Absolutely, because prior to Magic 8-Ball, Avengers was the go-to for getting your questions answered.
Sweet spot, right between Ouija and 8-Ball. Avengers comics.
Exactly.
Roger Stern Avengers comics.
That's why sales flagged, because the, you know, Hasbro came out with the Magic 8-Ball, and it was...
That was a very dark time for Marvel. A very dark time. So what are we talking about tonight?
Well, tonight we're talking about the endearing quality of Marvel Comics as a health aid.
Holistic. It's not... Oh, yeah,
it's true.
Hasn't passed the FDA.
It is a nutraceutical.
I had that done by Dr. Octopus. Yeah, I can one in every 4,000 times I can have a child. That's I don't know if he's accurate. He might just be insane. Maybe.
Really, but does it matter? I mean, ultimately,
it doesn't, because I got nutraceuticide.
Yeah, and the waiting list to get in on you know, any kind of treatment from Dr. Octopus is. Because for one thing, you have to wait for him to get out of prison.
Often, yes. I mean, at any given time,
it's
a constant on-call situation.
So yeah, if he's not, running a group of interns, but yeah, we're here to talk. This is, of course, The Doctor Is In.
Yeah,
this is our good night. We are getting dangerous.
184. I think it's 184.
We will hit 200 issues this year.
Yes, we will.
And we're going to talk about doctors in comics. And that is those who are doctors, comic book characters who are actually doctors, comic book doctor characters who are actually superheroes or villains. And then, of course, those who are simply, they like the sign of the name. It's
right.
Like, was it Senator Torvaldsen and... on the Prairie Home Companion, you know, no, he's not really a senator. His mom just liked the sound of that word.
It's too early. We're only like 5 minutes in. We can't start.
But I did go into Keeler.
You're warming it up. I can tell you're floating the idea right now. You're to see how it plays.
I'm testing the water a little bit.
I want to start with something not doctor related. Can I? Matter of fact, something not even comic book related. But it does speak to two topics that I know that you're a big fan of. Number one, and both of us, actually. It's not just you, it's both of us. One of them being Star Wars. Okay. For those of you that don't know, Cole's brother podcast to this one is the Rantcore Pit with Eddie Medina, frequent guest on this show. Amazing dude in his own right. They have a great Star Wars podcast. And the other one is Forrest Whitaker. So I know that you're a big fan. I know you're a big fan of Forrest Whitaker.
I have a tournament from, you know, The Crying Game.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you got to figure to bring that level of professionality, having read the end of the script, it's almost certain he had, to still be able to play it, forget the pun, straight.
So I'm doing what I do, doing just general nerd research that I spend my life doing, and I come across an article about...
And you benefit every episode from...
I do. Yes. Really, I'm deep.
I meant you being our listeners. I'm sure you do as well.
Well, I benefit from things I don't even talk about, like this article that I was going to let go, but it's too good. Because Entertainment Weekly, I'm perusing Entertainment Weekly, and there's an article about Forrest Whitaker's character in the upcoming Rogue One movie. Which is awesome. I love Forrest Whitaker. I'll love anytime Forrest Whitaker's on.
And this is
on
where
camera.
I have to admit, I was a little confused when the title was announced. I thought perhaps they were going all Scottish this time.
Rogue.
I thought it was Rogue One.
Rogue One. It's hard.
That's my new call.
Hard to fly an A-wing in a kilt. I'm just saying, it is hard. It's tight quarters in there.
Well, it's because there's that center-mounted stick.
It is. There is. Okay.
Really,
so
yeah. But please.
So I don't want to belabor this, but I did want to mention it because it was too good to pass up. There's an article about his character, and I'm going to give you some spoilers because it doesn't really matter. His character is a character that appears in the Clone Wars TV series. Okay, very cool. Like they're mixing things together, and something that's steeped in Star Wars lore already, and they're bringing it in. I thought that was a really cool concept and conceit. But when you get down through the article, and this is where it gets, I can't do it.
Does it begin to fail you?
It fails everyone, because the first thing they say is, you know, in the show, this character is voiced by Andrew Cascino, and Whitaker's appearance has a somewhat subtle homages to the character. And then the next line is, the eyes are different. God damn it, really? Really, Entertainment Weekly? That's the place you chose to take it? That Forrest Whitaker's eyes are different?
Mark Feldman is spinning in his grave.
And they just drop it. It's a throwaway. Like, if they would have wrote it out... because they go in to say the animated show features vivid aquamarine eyes, while Whitaker's are brown. That's what they say. Nothing about the fact that Forrest Whitaker, indeed, as a character trait, and has been used to great effect by him, has a lazy eye.
Yeah.
The eyes are different, Cole. Okay, that's all I wanted to say about that.
The eyes are different, and there's a distinct and obvious... lackadaisical quality to one of them. It is inescapable in Whitaker's otherwise seamless performance.
I'm just reading this article, and I'm like, okay, all right. And then it's like, and out of left field, the eyes are different. Screw you, Entertainment Weekly!
Then you turn the page, Sink Your Teeth into Jewel's new album.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Wait till you see... the Andrea Bocelli Christmas album. Oh shit!
That is like just shy. Have you seen Stevie Wonder's new album?
Right. Yeah. It's like, are you that? You're gonna try to get away with that? I will be shocked if that's something that doesn't end up on the internet. But anyway, that has nothing to do with comic books or doctors. It was too good to pass up, so I had to say something. All right, moving on.
I will have to pay tribute to that and see if we can't cut that into an upcoming
Rantcore.
When we talk about it on the Rantcore panel, when we get into Rogue One, we'll
That's too good to let go. All right, so let's talk a little bit about doctors, shall we?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
In fact, just to kind of as sort of an aperitif, if you will. I don't know. Does that come first or later?
I don't know. What fork do you use? What fork do you use for that? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. This is like from the pickle tray here.
That's what they.
I just want to kind of get your palate prepared for what's to come here by simply saying, "Phosphorus, Midnight, Alchemy, Manhattan, Light, Gorpin, Strange Fate, Doom, Demonicus, Fate, Druid, Bedlam, Moon, Faustus, Savannah, Strange, Doomsday, Psycho, Gargunza, Solar, Death, Evo, Double X, 13, Frost, Polaris."
I have danced under all those names on my West Coast tour.
Oh, I absolutely have.
Absolutely, my West Coast tour. But
by leaving off the doctor that is our theme today, you were able to get away with that, because otherwise, many a comic company would be coming after you. I do want to point out that my particular favorite of all these was from the miniseries Dr. Frost v. Nixon.
Nice. Well, that's good. That's good punnery right there. That's good. That's can we work, how many of these doctor names can we work into movie titles? That's the question have.
That's so true.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most of them are standalones. Polaris, Psycho.
Yeah, there's like the James Bond, Dr. Octopussy. There's.
No, that's nice. That's a good one. That's a good one.
That's all I got.
That's all you got. So who's your?
Oh, it was Dr. Death of a Salesman.
Dr. Death of a Salesman. Right. Damn it. Dr. Strange Thing happened on the way to the forum. Highbrow. So who in your opinion? No, let me ask this question first. Give me the comic book Hippocratic Oath. I want to know, Doctor. Nice. Well, way to bring it back around, Doctor. Right. Doctor 13 Ghost. How do you? So, what do you think the comic book Hippocratic Oath looks like? Like, I was thinking about that earlier.
That's interesting. I think that if you are Doctor Strange, Stephen Strange is a proper medical doctor. He was in fact a medical doctor before he became a Strange Doctor.
Might be the only one Strange Doctor.
Yeah. Or the Strange
Doctor. Doc Samson kind of holds that.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, Doc Samson is a trained psychiatrist He's a psychiatrist, actually, because he actually has went to medical school.
Right. He can prescribe you pills.
Yeah, so, honorable mention then, of course, to Doc Samson for, taking the abbreviated form. Samson was left off the list because it's not Dr. Samson, which, I salute him for that because Dr. Samson just sounds pretentious.
Right, it does.
Doc Samson is more approachable. You almost feel like you can buddy up with him.
And it was a good decision on his part professionally. Because if you're going to sit in a chair across from the Avengers and really break them down psychologically, you need to be able to saddle up, and get on their level. I don't think Dr. Samson could have done that. I think Samson can.
You want to have that level of that, like I said, the approachability. You want to be able to feel that comfort level when you're in the presence, Dr. Samson. You want to be like Spalding Gray talking about his psychiatrist, where you're all happy because you can sign your check in crayon.
That's true.
That's what he invokes with that. Spalding Gray would have been happy to visit Doc Samson.
I agree. I think you're right. So what do you think goes into the Hippocratic Oath of comic book doctors?
I think there are two Hippocratic Oaths in comics. There is the medical Hippocratic Oath, which would have been taken by Samson and by Strange and any other medical doctors. And then there is the super doctor.
Okay.
When you take upon the mantle of doctor, that's why it's not handed out to everybody. It's not like Dr. Green Goblin.
Nobody's
getting Daredevil.
I still think Stanford gave Dr. Green Goblin an honorary doctorate point.
Because he was going to blow up the commons.
That's true. The food court was going to be ash.
Completely obliterated. But he did hand over the detonator upon receipt of his honorary doctorate.
Yes, he did.
It actually hangs in his secret lair. And let me tell you, some of the other Fearsome Five, a little pissed about that.
Are there any other doctors in the Fearsome Five?
No, because that's why they're pissed. They've rotated any number of four other members through the group, and none of them hold an honorary doctorate. Rhino tried to get into go back to school, but it just didn't work out.
Well, I was going to say, I thought he had recently gone back to, like, the University of Phoenix. He was going, you know...
He was trying to find out you can't get an actual medical doctorate online.
Oh, I thought he was going for horticulture. He was really turning a new leaf, and that was an unintended pun.
Plant Man kind of pushed him in that direction.
Right, set him down, had a conversation like, you need to give up this life. Let me turn you on to the power of... This is going to be the weirdest episode I think we might have
confused.
Ever...
Done. He wanted to... Rhino, you know, being a little dull-witted, wanted to go to that school that has the owl on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Him, that's what spoke to him for knowledge.
And
of course, Plant Man said the things that pass for knowledge I don't understand.
Now in my mind, I picture Leland Owsley in his full, not Daredevil TV show get up.
Himself on someone's cubicle and remind him to go back to school.
But like in the commercials, like he's the shill for that university, like walking up to people and just like sitting on the edge of their desk and addressing them and then breaking the fourth wall and addressing the camera.
Wolverine wrist claw.
Yeah, like cutting grooves into the desk.
Yeah. But I also, it's rather ironic that, you know, one of the predatory universities uses an actual predatory bird.
Right.
With their symbol.
It's not like the University of Jaguar out there somewhere. But anyway.
Venus flytrap. Look, it's all sweet, educational.
Oh, I'm working on my associates in IT and in information technology from the University of Barracuda. It's fun. So Hippocratic Oath, two different Hippocratic Oaths.
Yeah, once you are inducted into the rarefied hero, villain, doctor realm, you get to, you do take that oath. And there's actually sub-oaths, because if you are a hero, naturally your oath is to use your new doctorally title to promote all that is good. And of course, you know, the other, which this is one of those little gray areas where Dr. Green Goblin was not actually invited to take the villain oath.
Oh,
because he was trying to bypass the normal channels.
Right.
And you don't do that. You don't mess with the system. But yeah, there is an oath wherein, you know, you are like, for example, in the villain doctor oath, their Hippocratic Oath is, above all else, do harm. Really, for a while there, that's all there was to it. It was pretty easy to memorize. Rhino figured he was never going to get in anyway, because he couldn't even memorize that one. But, yeah, it's just like, above all, do harm.
He's like, tacos, burritos, above all else, do no harm. Above all else, chicken parm. I can get behind that. Did you say chicken parm? See, I thought it was more like they all got together. Like, okay, it's whatever graduating class. You know, every 4 years they have
a group of these guys.
Rock
and Roll Hall of Fame, only more fickle.
Right. They all get together in a room together. You know, there's a treaty, an accord, where all the heroes and villains with doctors that have adopted doctors into their names get together in a room, and they're like, okay, everybody raise your right hand, and all together say, man, I don't care, yeah, whatever. And then they all...
Cake bug.
And then they all get their diplomas, and then they all go out to hang them in their lairs. And then,
just long enough to hang up your official papers, and then it's on.
And then it's on again, yeah. But, well, there's a one day. It's like a high noon
it's
in the World War II.
Day, basically.
Right. It's like the reverse purge. The reverse purge. So yeah, I think you're right. I think that the villains... Chicken parm? Did you say chicken parm? No, we said do no harm. Chicken parm! I say
parm. Let's go.
I heard you say chicken parm. Let's go.
Make it double.
I'm eating Angelo for chicken parm.
Hey, let me get some chicken parm. My good buddy the Rhino. Not so bad. He's got a thick skin. You know what I'm talking about?
He's got a big heart. He's got to have a big heart. Look at him. Oh, 17 ventricles. He would know he's a doctor. Rhino. Dr. Rhino. That's a comic I would read. With all these weird kind of Matt Fraction-esque surreal comics, you know, that are coming out now, Dr. Rhino would be a comic I would pick up every single month.
Back to last week, I would get behind Dr. Rhino before I'd get behind Hydra of Captain America.
Cap Hydra? You give Dr. Rhino, attorney at law. Like, just the weirdest thing. Like, what? Esquire, Dr. Rhino Esquire, attorney at law. Like, no.
Okay. He turns into, was it John Houseman in the paper chase? He's like teaching law school. He's over the chalkboard because he's old fashioned. He still uses a chalkboard, not dry right. That's just disgusting to him. That's against all educational principles. He's like, business law.
Business.
And it gives that big kind of rhino snort out of both nostrils.
And then it flashes up the title card and it says by Shonda Rhimes, and then everyone dies and has sex and dies. Yeah, the end. Pretty... Scandal. Yes, so who's your favorite comic book doctor? I want to know.
Wow, I know who yours is.
You know who mine is.
Everyone who's listened to the show for any length of time knows your favorite comic book doctor.
That's that bastion of burlap.
Damn list I had earlier.
Yeah, bastion of burlap.
Yes, indeed. This should be like the, you know, the, oh, who was it? Ragman was the tatterdemalion of justice.
Which is so good.
Yeah,
Whoever wrote that.
Right up there. You know?
Whoever wrote that.
The bastion of burlap.
Just looks like, it seriously just looks like somebody cut leg and arm holes out of a burlap sack and gave him a purple cape. And then put Danny DeVito on a rack and stretched him about another foot, and then stuck it.
Like,
yes,
Danny DeVito meets Procrustes, stretched out to fit the bed. So wow, that is, how does one choose? I think one of my favorite, just from the standpoint of being such a ridiculous, over-the-top character as one might find in comics, was Dr. Demonicus, who has the pedigree of being one of those characters that got folded into the Marvel Universe by virtue of appearing in a Marvel licensed title. Dr. Okay. Demonicus comes to us from, of all places, Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Oh, really?
Yes, the good doctor would go on to fight the Avengers and others, if I'm not mistaken, but he got his start in the pages of Godzilla, where he was engineering his own giant monsters.
Okay.
Set them off to attack Godzilla to, you know, mixed results, I guess.
For what, fun? That's what I always wonder. Why are you doing this? Why have you set your life's work to creating something to go fight King Kong, Godzilla, whoever it might be? Like, are you that, like, is this...
I think, though, in comics, once, you know, there become a surfeit of doctors, of, like, people who actually hold a doctorate in something, anything.
Right.
And I think some of them, once they get out of whatever field of study, because you have to imagine, going after your doctorate is a half a lifetime, it's a career. And there are people who, you know, there was a guy who used to wander around the halls where I went to college in the middle of the night wearing clogs, and it just...
What?
You got the impression this guy just was sort of like the phantom of the art department or something, who, you know, he just never, he was the perpetual student. And once they're cut loose onto the world, like, my Carl Childers in the sling blade, they've got nowhere to go.
Welcome to the children of Stephen Wright's.
That's right.
What beautiful music they made.
It's a good thing you moved on from your college career, because I would have seen you, like, wandering the halls and absconding. People said, let me tell you about the time I was in the urinals with Prince.
I would, yeah.
And then just you would disappear, and there'd just be this haunting laughter.
That's the laugh. Just, yeah, I've been. It's not like I practiced or actually used it in college. Yeah, all right.
What is the statute of limitations on absconding people?
Yeah, right. Has it been 7 years?
I think you're good.
Seven years. Somebody call Dr. Rhino Esquire so I can.
If you're a college athlete, 3 weeks.
Oh, topical. Ow. Hey-o. Hey-o. All right, so you were saying.
My heart goes out to a lot of these doctors. I think they just went a little nuts once they were free of the regimen of academia.
I've noticed another problem with doctors, if you're willing to move on to another possible reason.
I want to touch on one of the really epitomizes this, and you can fill in the blanks. I mean, a lot of people are already thinking, oh, yeah, there was this and that and that. Of course, it's Dr. Is it Carl Magus?
Yes, Dr.
Will Magus. That's it. Yeah.
Dr. Will I know. Magus. I like Dr. Carl Magus. That's his brother. Like, that's the legitimate
Carl
doctor.
Magus and my brother made billions and billions of robots. Will Magus. Yeah, Dr. Will Magus, or Doc Magus, as he would be known, was a roboticist, which normally means you're a guy who makes arms for industrial.
Mm-hmm.
applications, but he was not content with this. He went and mixed his love of robotics with his love of alchemy and brought upon the world a strange mix of robots or androids, I'm not really sure which. Effectively, they were called robots because back in the day, everything was a robot.
Right.
We created the Metal Men, which are probably the most expensive robots ever created.
Are they robots? I mean, that's the question you have at some point, right?
That's true. In a way, I think they're probably more like the precursor to Terminator.
Right.
If you think about it, every single one of them is a polymimetic metal alloy. What is the term again? I don't know. It's the word they say.
You become a weird Russian.
It doesn't matter. Why would we even need a word for it? We're robots.
You just slid into a weird Russian Bernie Sanders. I don't know what just happened.
Plus Bernie Sanders, I think everyone in Russia can have free education.
Russian Bernie Sanders. What is happening? This is the best show ever. Since the last best show ever. This is the best show ever.
I never thought about that, but they were literally Skynet. I was like, huh.
Just like, that seems to work.
They're like the friendly version of the T-1000. Imagine, though, if Skynet got a hold of, a trade paperback or something, they wouldn't have sent Robert Patrick. They'd have sent some sniveling little guy to, disguised as Tin from the Metal Men.
Right, like, snarf. Why did we go to snarf?
He's like, oh, don't mind me. Where's your son? Oh, sorry, you're dead. Oh, my bad. And I want you to know how hard it was for me to use that term because I hate the term.
You hate the term, my bad?
I hate it. That is the most dismissive of apologies.
My bad.
My bad. Yeah, it's like, my bad. No big thing. So, now that I've derailed not only my line of thought, but yours, where were you?
Well, here's my thing, right? In doing the research for this show and kind of going through lists of, and there are a shit ton of Doctor comic book characters, right? There are just a ton. And I'm looking through, and most of these are legacy characters. Your Doctor Lights, your Doctor Destinies, your Doctor Midnight.
It's hard to get in. It's like real proper medical school. The more the years wear on, the harder it is to get in. The admissions policies.
But you have to be a legacy, right? But
yeah,
most of these guys, like you got like, and they aren't related. Like Doctor Light, as much of a D-bag as we know he is now. From we've talked ad nauseum about the Identity Crisis comic, but he
that
wasn't
revelations of comic characters were good.
He came upon his name, but his name was a legacy name. He just knew how to use light. He was a criminal physicist that knew not. He worked in criminology. He just knew how to use light. Kind of
he was
broke
one of those
bad.
That there are a lot of people in the DC universe who are playing around with light. There was this sort of like this zeitgeist going around for a while.
Right.
Because you got Dr. Light, Mirror Master, and Rainbow Raider.
Well, I mean, not to mention Green Lantern, you know, and you know,
dicking around with light. Well, yeah, well, that kind of either came from magic or from elfin magic or from the stars. But the guys who were just like here on Earth,
really working it out,
mess around with light.
Light scientists,
yeah,
is what you're saying.
Know, it's like the old commercial for Light Bright, making things.
Cocaine fueled light science.
Yeah, I said, what was I going? You're taking things with cocaine fueled light bright.
Cocaine fueled light science fueled. Cocaine fueled light science really lit up the board in the Silver Age of comic books.
And got the board lit.
And now I have a thesis. I'm going back to school. I'm getting my doctorate. That's my thesis. But yeah, they didn't. I don't think they asked for the title of doctor. Just that was the title that they were given because senile Jay Garrick, Dr. Light captures the Justice League. At the time, he's just a guy that knows how to use light. And old senile Jay Garrick's like, oh, Dr. Light's back! And he's like, son of a bitch! Really? Like,
yeah, I hope nobody heard you say that. And sure enough, tomorrow's paper, Dr. Light attacks the Justice Society. Oh, and now it's on. I can't go and be, you know, Brighto or whatever.
Right, whatever I wanted to be, Lumen, whatever it was that I decided to be. No, I've got to be Dr. Light, just like the guy you fought, because you're trying to hold on to your youth.
Yeah.
Damn it. So I don't think a lot of them chose the name.
An aging hipster.
I mean, there's hubris, there's ego and hubris, but then also, I think a lot of this, we're making it worse. If we probably would have let him name himself whatever, you know, he probably would have been a flash in the pan, no pun intended. Another non-intentional pun.
Yeah.
God, it's so easy tonight with these doctor characters. It would have been just a flash in the pan, and he would have gone. But no, you went and pissed him off by calling him Dr. Light. Now he has to.
He was forced to embrace it forever.
Right.
And then his successor, oddly enough, who is all hero.
Right. Well, they had to redeem the character.
A very self-important, officious, actual doctor.
Right.
Who gets zappy flashied by the monitor. And then she just has Dr. Light just kind of foisted on her because he's trying to relive his youth because he enjoyed the antics of the Justice Society.
Right. Plus, DC needed to rebrand that character after what Brad Meltzer did to it. But yes. So I think we're seeing a lot of kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy of these Doctor characters. I know Dr. Midnight had the same issue. You know, there have been different iterations of Dr. Midnight as well throughout time, where I'm pretty sure none of them were actual Doctors. I'm not...
Well, the thing is, I think that the original Dr. Midnight may have been, because I think he invented or, you know, had the smarts.
Oh, yeah.
Because he had to figure out a way to like, unblind himself, but apparently only at night. So he invented, like, the best night vision goggles or the worst, because apparently for them to work, you had to be Chronicles of Riddick.
He was a surgeon. Yes, he was. The original was a surgeon.
You pretty much had to Riddick it.
Riddick it? You had to flash your eyes.
Yeah, that's right.
Shine by the way.
Shine job in your eyeballs.
Wow, you remembered shine job. Damn.
it's all there in case I need to bring it up on this show.
The original Dr. Midnight, by the way, one of the absolute weirdest origin stories that I've ever read in my life. I'm going to read it straight off of Wikipedia. I know we don't like to do that, but it's too good. His name was Charles McNeeder. He was a surgeon. He was called one night to remove a bullet from a witness who was soon to testify against mobsters. A mobster throws a grenade into the room, killing the witness and blinding McNeeder. McNeeder believes his days of a surgeon are over. One evening, as he is recovering,
love the fact that they threw a grenade in the room.
Right.
It's like a surgery suite. He just went, like, what did he go to the sitting room here? Just work on that bullet a while.
He's in the kitchen. Yeah, it was a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Bay window.
But my favorite...
Anyone driving by in close proximity wants to lob a pineapple at us.
So after all of this happens, right? After the grenade and he's given up on his career, an owl crashes through his window. He removes his bandages, and he can still see, but only in perfect darkness. His vision is inverted. What? 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 I love the Golden Age. If you guys don't read Origins, they really need to reprint the strangest origin stories from the Golden Age, because they are the most, because nobody cared. Nobody cared about continuity. Nobody cared about realism and good storytelling. They were just like, we want Bang Pow, beat 'em up, onomatopoeia. Like, so the origins were the strangest stories that you've ever seen in your life, and we all loved them, and we still do. We should embrace them, but that's my soapbox. I'm off my soapbox. But yes, the original Midnight was a surgeon. Past that point, they still are. Beth Chappell was a medical doctor. The later Midnight, let's see, was he a guy? He was a scientist, so I don't know that he was an actual doctor, but the definitely...
Oh, so we're going to have that Big Bang Theory distinction where he might have been just an engineer.
Right. But yes, I think that's part of the problem. I'm just putting that out there, that's part of the problem.
Well, also, in addition to those who, you know, take on the Dr. Mantle, and I want to point out that some of them, Dr. Mantle, like Dr. Midnight, Dr. Octopus, which one of the best, the best articulations of the whole, you know, back when a lot of these characters were created, nobody really cared. It was just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just absolutely love that line in Spider-Man 2. It's like, you know, what are the chances somebody named Octavius would get four extra limbs?
Right.
It was just, what a brilliant articulation of, like, you know, we have to kind of live with some of these ridiculous names.
We have to at least tip our hat to these ideas, right? To a guy named J. Jonah Jameson exists. We have to acknowledge his existence.
Somehow sports a Hitler mustache and gets away with it.
And later becomes Commissioner Gordon, but that's all beside the points.
What I love about it is there is one standout amongst those who hold a doctorate, yet take up the mantle of doctor, or rather in this case, who didn't.
Oh.
This is actually rather humble on his part. You know, we spoke earlier about the extreme hubris behind, you know, taking up the doctor name.
Right.
Whether you deserve it or not. And by the way, apologies to Dr. Cyber for being left off the previous list.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he's real upset by it.
Well, cheap, but now we've really pissed her off. So.
Well, she's also a robot, so what are you going to do?
And I'm a robot who just happens to sound mannish.
Sorry, Denny. Sorry, Denny O'Neill. My bad.
Yeah. So, but that is Dr. Victor Freese.
Oh, very nice.
Very humbly refers to himself as Mr. Freeze. Dr. Freeze was my father.
Dr. Freeze was my father! I think, though, he is... He, of the Batman lexicon of villains, right? In my mind, he is the most noble of the... He would be the one that would do this.
Yeah.
You know, he acknowledges that he gave up the Hippocratic Oath at some point. You know, I can see that happening.
Oh, that's true. And he didn't want to take the villain Hippocratic Oath because it would seem like hypocritical to him to go from above all else do no harm to simply above all else do harm.
Right. I think in his mind, and I'm being fairly serious right now, I think if I'm dissecting this character's psyche, I think that, you know, he being the most noble of the characters in Batman's, you know, villains roster, would have said to himself, I don't want to tarnish the profession that I love. I've turned into a hideous freak ice monster here that
gets
to live in an ice suit. So yeah, I'm going to give up that mantle.
Lofty the Frost Giant from Thor. What am I?
Right. You know, I can't.
Dare I besmirch the good name of the hallowed halls of medicine?
Right. I can't in good conscience go around calling, like, putting doctor on all of my stationery anymore. That's not the way this works. Also, were we talking on show or off show about Peter Dinklage?
No, we were off show when that came up, but I think it's a brilliant piece of casting that needs to happen.
Yeah, I think if in the Wonder Woman movies they actually give us a Dr. Savannah, I think it has...
No, Dr. Psycho.
Did I say... Oh, yeah, Dr. Psycho, I'm sorry. It has to end up being...
Peter Dinklage. Being Peter Dinklage.
He
would be absolutely perfect as Dr. Psyche.
It wouldn't be his first foray into comic book movies. I mean, he was in the Days of Future Past movie. I think he would knock it out of the park. And
it would give him a substantial character that exercises his acting chops,
It would give DC a substantial character with an actor who has acting chops.
Yeah.
Sorry, but that's true. I'm sorry, just have to say that, but that's absolutely true. Talk to me about Doctor Strange for a second, because he's really the interesting.
I think that in many ways, Doctor Strange was the catalyst of this, because high on the radar screen is none other than Dr. Stephen Strange, or as we would called him when I first discovered Dr. Strange, Dr. Stephen Strange, because we didn't realize that PH sounds like a V.
Hello, I am Dr. Stephen Strange.
Stephen Strange. Stephen Strange.
Oh, Dr. Stephen Strange.
Stephen Strange was our original drummer.
Did you say our little drummer?
His first name was Dotha.
His last name was Stephen Strange. Stephen Strange.
It's like one.
Stephen Strange or Stephen Strange? Stephen Strange. No, Stephen Strange.
It's like St. John. Looks like St. John is St. John.
God damn it. God damn it. Will Ultron Cafe ever leave us? Will it ever not be a part of our zeitgeist that we've created? I hope not.
Working on their new album.
We've heard that.
Continues to simply be called Untitled. Rolling Stone recently said chances are the title of the album will simply be called. It'll be untitled, but we're not sure yet. Could actually have a title.
In other news, Ultron Cafe made it into Rolling Stone, which nobody thought was going to happen. So, good for them. But yeah, talk a little bit about Stephen Strange.
They were the first inductee into the Ultron Cafe Hall of Fame.
Ultron Cafe was the first inductee into the Ultron Cafe Hall of Fame, which is basically just the waiting room at the actual Ultron Cafe. That's all that is.
And from which they took their name.
That's correct.
And it closed within 3 weeks.
Yeah, so good. Okay, Dr. Strange.
Dr. Stephen Strange, the brilliant surgeon. This is actually one of the cooler origins. I think, in their innocent days, Lee and Kirby and Ditko had this kind of magic about who becomes the hero. And here you get... You start out with Harrison Ford in the Fugitive.
This is going to place. I'm along for the ride. Let's go.
You start out with that. He gets in an accident before anyone can frame him for any kind of murders, and ruins his hands. He's like, it's like the classical pianist. I said pianist kids, who has their hands insured by Lloyd's of London against the potential of like Three Stooges-esque key cover fall.
Key cover slippage. It's in my policy.
You have to watch for that. A lot of people, it's locked down before, and it's like tightrope walkers. If you're not checking the equipment before, it's on you. So, since his...
Getting that put on my tombstone.
He loses the ability to do what he spent. It was like 60s. He was a surgeon. So he probably spent upwards of $7,000 to become a surgeon.
Yeah, yeah.
Schooling back then, because all he had to pay for was room and board, because that's the way things were back then.
Right.
He's at the height of his craft, and all of a sudden he loses. Apparently, there are no hand surgeons.
Well, he was the only one.
Therein would lie the real irony.
That's right.
His hand surgeon loses hand.
It's like, oh, no.
What are the chances?
That is neat. That needs to be in a comic book, a brand X or a...
Oh, yes, that would have been a sweet, sweet irony. Damn you, Stan Lee, for not making him a hand surgeon. So, yeah, apparently nobody could figure out what to do with his hands, and the hand transplant was but a dream. And so he's distraught and ruined, and like any distraught, ruined, wealthy ex-surgeon, he's going to squander what remains of his vastly fortune by disappearing into the Himalayas in search of Rajal Gul.
No, wait. No. Picking the one purple flower and taking it to the mountain.
Yeah, somehow he's kind of wandering around distraught. And the one thing that...
Damn it.
...that venerable mystics love, they're like Tyrion Lannister. They have a thing for cripples and dwarves and broken things. So
I thought the answer was just white guys. According to comic books, it's just white guys.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is, back in like the 60s in Tibet, as a white guy, you were flavor of the month.
I suppose you're
it's
right
like,
in
you
that.
Know, touting an American accent in Australia, you just... Even the bassist among us become quite sexy over there.
The last white guy they saw was Brad Pitt after he climbed that mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Movie, in that documentary I saw.
So, strange sort of meta way that all happened simultaneously. So, yeah, naturally the first thing you do is get introduced to, you know, some crazy old mystic up in the hills. And then you get your mind blown.
So, Ancient Juan? Your name is Ancient... No, I'm the Ancient One. Juan, like, are you from, you know... No. Damn it. I'm getting punchy, Cole.
You really are. That's like it has all the makings of a bad joke from the 70s.
I stopped myself before I took it to that place.
My God, I fell off. I was in junior high. So, yes, Ancient Juan... Oh, wait, okay.
I'm glad I could give you that feeling again.
Thank you. But, you know, yeah, what's interesting about a lot of the Marvel characters in that era, though, one thing that Doctor Strange has in common, oddly enough, with none other than Tony Stark.
Facial hair.
Beyond facial hair, okay. Is the disappearing ailment.
Yeah.
Just say that at some point in his history, nobody really gave a rat's ass about Tony Stark's heart. It just disappeared from the narrative. And at some point, even more quickly, I guess when lacking a brilliant hand surgeon, nothing so heals your digits, your mitts, like mysticism.
You know what's funny about that, though, is they always will bring it back when they need it. It becomes the old chestnut.
Yeah.
It's like
somehow the mystic mittens of Mahaki will simply fall off of his hands whenever necessary.
It's like whenever something goes, what about my hands? What about your hands? It's been 10 years since you
mentioned
your hands.
In 3 decades. What are you talking about? I give up. What about your hands?
But no, you're. That's an absolutely accurate point. Who cares?
Like it meant something when you started your career, and then you pretty much forgot about it. Maybe you'd stop moping around. You could have got your regular people hands back and got back to work.
But the thing is, if you look at Doctor Strange in the comics, and I'm sure in the movie that's coming up, and anything that's ever been animated, his you know, hand gymnastics that he has to go through to cast any
it's like
spells.
That pretend translator. That fake sign language translator, the crazy guy that got up on stage.
Yes.
Exactly. I mean, that guy was a Doctor Strange wannabe. Yeah, there were like movements where he was like triple jointed or something.
Like, I never understood, like, and this would be the perfect use for a Deadpool moment, or a Spider-Man moment. Like, he's over there casting the Crimson Bands of Chipotle.
I have it here.
Chipotle. And why didn't anybody just look at him and go, and why couldn't you become a surgeon again? You know, what's stopping you? You just literally, you know, did a cat's cradle with your hands. Why can you now become a surgeon again? Like, what's stopping you now from becoming a surgeon
again?
At
that point, you know, once you've walked on the surface of the sun, the beach loses its appeal.
I follow that metaphor. follow that metaphor. I'm not sure I agree with it, but I'm going to roll with you on it. I'll follow you on it.
I really think, yeah, once you've actually gone and, like, licked the surface of the sun, no tanning bed will ever do.
All right. All right.
Ironically, the surface of the sun, you know, you'd think it tastes like orange. It's bizarre. It tastes like a banana. It's weird. It's not that artificial banana. It actually tastes like a real banana. Not that, those wacky wafer banana. God, those are awful. I'm talking about like proper, real, dull banana.
But yeah, that was the one that confused me, was like, why didn't he ever just go back to being a surgeon at that point?
Yeah, I think that at that point, I mean, as a surgeon, what do? You go in, you scrub down, somebody puts your gloves on, you bark a lot of orders, you call for sponges, apparently. A lot of sponges, at least in every medical show I ever saw. You have your retractors and your Bellsheimer forceps and things like that, and you do what you do, and then they back the money truck up to the mansion, and then what is the rest of your, you may go out and play golf with some of your colleagues, or you just lounge around the cavernous expanse that is your living room and tinkle a little bit on the keys of the baby grand piano you don't know how to play,
right?
You sort of lilt about with a snifter of brandy at 3 in the afternoon, and in the back of your mind, you see the belching flames of Dormammu's head that's like Krakatoa exploding on the shoulders of a mountainous man. You see the mindless ones just milling about their bizarre world, just blasting everything in sight with their optic beams. You see Despair and Belasco and all of these, things that are invisible to the human eye, except until you cross that plane of existence and you see what no man was meant to see. And all of a sudden, all of the, the fundraisers and the appearing at the press conference with some celebrity you've just sewn up, or the articles in the trade journals, it's just, none of it really matters anymore. It's a banana-flavored sun, I'm telling you.
Can we subtitle this episode?
A banana flavored
sun. I literally just sat there listening to that, just staring at a wall. Trying.
I've opened a new world.
Oh, speaking of opening a new world, I thought we would do our favorite game, which is I asked Yahoo, why in comics and movies are doctors usually villains? Because the majority of the doctors that we see are, at least in Monkey A alone, villains. Like, you've got, like, Bruce Banner, Dr. Bruce Banner, but he's the Hulk. You've got Dr., what's Thor's name? Dr. Blake?
Dr. Robert Blake.
He's a doctor, right? I'm pretty sure Tony Stark has a doctorate, at least one that he bought from somewhere.
He probably holds several honorary doctorates.
Right, but they're not running around calling themselves doctors. So doctors have enough money, intelligence, and knowledge of the human body to do experiments on humans. That's number one. That's why, okay? That's the number one reason.
So if you snapped during Gross Anatomy, then you're probably going to become a supervillain.
Right. Number two, people dislike doctors because they have to visit them while they are sick, and that reflects on their thoughts about them. Not that they heal people, but because they don't like going to... This guy's a genius.
Above all else, really weigh on people's minds.
People group the doctors into the category mad scientists. Writers of stories just don't like doctors. So many people use doctors as villains that the others just go along at the trend.
Oh, I think that kind of zeitgeist I was mentioning earlier.
Right. Doctors hold people's lives in their hands almost daily, and it would be easy for them to kill someone by making them, and it makes them an easy target to become a villain. This guy needs, I don't know,
I think he read too much WebMD.
Right. There are multiple answers to this that are just ridiculous. I think it's because comics and movies reflect real life. I think that's my favorite one because he sourced it as I read comics, watch movies, and am alive.
Thank you. I guess those are three indisputable pillars of evidence.
That's the Fifth Estate speaking to you right there. Pete Galapaleu is definitely not the Fourth Estate, but the Fifth Estate. Oh my God! So we're getting close to having to cut the show off. The network is calling and telling us that we need to shut this monstrosity down.
We're being handed notes.
Dr. Frankenstein needs to be put back to bed before the Frankenstein monster that is this show gets away from him.
Frankenstein.
I'm sorry, Frankenstein. Putting on the Ritz. So there's one other thing that I wanted to talk about. Cole, I know that I shared this with you. I'd like to share it with our viewing audience. If you get the opportunity, go to the website, thecomicdoctor.com.
Speaking of doctors.
God, this asshole. He's as bad. Whoever the comic doctor is as bad as any of the doctors we've talked about tonight.
This may be the doctor the guy from Yahoo Answers was talking about.
It could be. So why don't you explain what the comic doctor does, Cole? Because I know this makes you real happy. This guy in his legitimate work.
The comic doctor appears to be a sinister agent of the grading. Because essentially what the comic doctor is trying to foist upon you is the concept that even your worst comics are worth getting graded. Because remember that comic book you bought for $1.50 15, 20 years ago when comics were still just $1.50? Kind of a little dog-eared and a little creased, and maybe even has some foxing around the edges. You might think, why should I get that graded? Who would ever? Why would it matter if it's a? It's right. I'm no expert, but it's probably a 6.3.
Why would I bother?
Yeah, why bother? But along comes Comic Doctor, and Comic Doctor will take your 6.3 and, using some sort of proprietary Frankenscience, will press and clean your comics like a dry cleaner of comics. Like I can just imagine this rack with these, Mylar bags that just is on this giant carousel. And just push the button until yours comes around. That apparently they will press and clean your comic and make it look more. Cite example after example of comic book covers lit to accentuate their terrible condition, and then the pristine or the much more pristine look, and then tout how this would have been graded a 7.3 and now it's an 8.
It's so ridiculous.
I don't know what it costs to get your comic slabbed in the first, to get it graded, to examine, assigned a grade and slab, but I'm going to guess, I'm going to say at least $35 to $40 for that, minimum. Otherwise, to have a human being actually scrutinize the thing and look at it like, Quincy examining a body and filling out the death certificate, you'd have to have some serious money involved with somebody having to take the time to look for all the criteria and judge your comic and then assign it a grade and then pass it on to somebody else to slam it into a plastic case and put a sticker on it and then mail it back to you. So let's just say, conservative estimate, about $45 for that. Well, if I want to spend $45, I want to make sure it's worth my while. What the hell?
Right.
I'm excessive fanboy and I want to have a quality comic to put in my slab collection. Because I found out from my dad that I'm not going to graduate college on my... I'm not going to go through college on his comic collection, so I should slab it so my kids can be put through college on my slab collection, because that apparently is the real way to invest.
Right.
So, You send it off to the comic doctor. I didn't bother to look, see what the comic doctor charges. Probably comic doctor can't tell you what he's going to charge until he gets a specimen in hand and can determine the level to which he's going to have to work his particular magic. But let's just say, conservative estimate, another $45. So you've taken what is effectively today a dollar bin comic and spent $90 on it because you've been sold a bill of goods by an industry that is self-perpetuating, because it creates this idea that there's still money to be had in comics. And while I did back a little off the grading, because it can serve a purpose for comics that genuinely have a value,
right,
to put forth the concept that your comics are going to be worth what genuinely sought after collectibles are going to be worth someday because you sealed them away forever is a fallacy that's being sold on a near criminal level, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, and if you look at what he says in his, you know, between the two services he offered, one is comic book pressing, one is comic book dry cleaning.
Dry cleaning, yes.
If you look at what these services do, he's not talking about he's not talking about doing anything to these comics. He's talking about alchemy. That's essentially what he's talking about. He's talking about the transmutation of fucking, like, the what is comic book dry cleaning? The gentle removal of contamination from the white areas of a comic book, including interior pages, back and front cover. No water, peroxides, or solvents of any kind are used. CGC does not refer to pressing and dry cleaning as restoration. Examine the images below, because if it's restoration, the CDC will not give you as high a mark.
Yeah, and who is shilled on every single page of this
right
side but the CDC? So the two are obviously hand in glove, and that, you know, these are not considered restorative effects is like calling waterboarding not torture.
Right, right. Oh.
It's not restoration because we said so.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Where actual genuine curators of the finest preserved items in human history would simply call that a restoration effort.
This asshole.
In closing, I want to pay a special tribute to one of the most inexplicably successful evil doctors out there, and that is one Dr. Thaddeus Bodog Savannah.
Well,
yes,
sure. Well,
Thaddeus
sure.
Bodog. No wonder the man went into crime. The brilliant mad scientist, Dr. Savannah, who started life at Fawcett Comics as a reject from Thimble Theater's Popeye, and like any kind of good Popeye character, has offspring that look exactly like he does, only taller and with hair or a different gender. Leading me to believe they're actually failed clones, because I don't think old Bodog got any action in medical school. But it's really very curious character in that he has managed to survive, you know, his Fawcett and pre-crisis incarnations, and become a bit of a heavy hitter in some regards. He's one of I think a lot of characters that were just sort of ridiculous are actually the perfect. They become the, you know, this raw clay from which modern creators can reshape them.
Right.
He's like one of those that just was ripe for being made into something far better, and was, of course, in much the way that Miracle Man was basically a Britishized, an Anglophile, Anglo-sized Captain Marvel. Alan Moore, in his Alan Moore way, brilliantly rethought the idea of Dr. Savannah with Dr. Garganza. If you ever get a chance to read the entire Alan Moore Miracle Man run, just a brilliant way of creating some, you know, misshapen little guy with a giant ass brain.
All right. I'm calling it. I'm putting a pin in it. The medical examiner has called it at approximately an hour and 10 minutes. TOD, liver temp, all of that has told us that it's time to hang up the hang up the scrubs for the evening.
We're going to put a tag on the toe of this show and send it on its way.
It's a good show. It was a good show. I think we did all right.
It was excellent. We, as always, have left a lot of room for more doctoring around. We'll play doctor again. We'll put it
there. You go. Why don't you plug us up and we'll get out of here, Cole?
All right. Well, you are listening to this show and many others and more coming soon through the auspices of the Banana Sun that is the Jedi Soul
Universe. The damn Banana Sun! Damn it!
we can write to us at jcumail@yahoo.com and tell us about your banana sons, and that is if you're a banana and you've had male offspring.
What kind of Superman gets its power from the banana sun? That's what I want to know.
We'll have been doing a few more tweets on Twitter at the Jedi Cold U. Watch for myself and Eddie Medina and the aforementioned Ranker Pit, the live version, the Ranker Pit Live. Watch on airlive.com. You can catch us the first and third Sundays of every month, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, from the One Eye Joe Studios and Deep Ellum on Air. Woo. And as you're listening to this, we are on the cusp of bringing back the Force of July. We're going to have three shows in July.
Here it comes.
The Zip Range is now official. We would have five shows in July, but I don't think we could manage that. And, you know, last July we did four shows. We played every single weekend, every single Sunday of the month. Zach Schroeder's The Iron Claw Wrestling Show now takes over the alternate Sundays that Rancor isn't on. So we're not going to ask Zach to bump his show or anything on our behalf. So check out the 4th of July coming up in July. We've got some great guests lined up and some great discussion. Because we like the Star Wars. And this one is your baby, so I'm going to let you say goodbye to everybody, because I think the doctor did a great job delivering yet again.
I just wanted to end the show by saying, good night, Dr. Moon. Good night, comic books.
Good night, Gotham City.
Good night, Two-Face.
Go to sleep.
Buy, collect, and enjoy your comics. Go find your Doctor comics and read them. Big ups, big shout out to somebody to get mentioned tonight. The Night Nurse, hey, you know, for healing the bodies and the souls of those heroes out there in Hell's Kitchen. You yeah. Get it, Night Nurse. All right, everybody. Good night. We'll talk
to
you next week.
Tomorrow may rain, so I'm gonna follow the banana sun.
Damn it.
On that.